Thank you for joining us. My name is Dr. Arthur Lewin, and I'm at the Black Studies Department of Baruch College. My colleague here is Mr. Tim Johnson, and he's a reporter for the People's Daily World. Before we begin, I'd like to tell you a little bit about what I think we can do here today. Two of our panelists were not able to make it, and so therefore that gives us more time to concentrate on Mr. Johnson's presentation, concentrate on your questions, to refer back to some of the questions that were raised in the larger session, and we'll give you more time to interact and to make your points and have a much better discussion, okay? I would like to begin by saying that Malcolm X is truly royalty for us. That's our royalty. He's our, as they said, our black shining prince. He's our royalty. And there are two pivotal pieces of literature around him, and I think that would be his autobiography of Malcolm X, written with the assistance of Alex Haley, and also Muhammad Speaks, which is the organ that Malcolm X created. And we're going to today focus on the organ that he created, which is Muhammad Speaks. And we're going to see if we can make parallels to other organs of communication. As you know, means of communication is very necessary when you have a movement or a group of people engaged in an activity. For example, Marcus Garvey had his communication, which was called the Black World, the Negro World, thank you. The NAACP, chief organ of communication there was the Crisis, all right? We know the Black Panthers had the Black Panther. So we know that in any struggle, it's important for us to have our own means of communication that's unfiltered. In the electronic media today, we have Like It Is here in New York City, a number of other electronic media in which we can talk directly to our people. On cable TV, they have Black Entertainment Television. It's a vibrant link. We control it. We transmit the ideas. I note that Malcolm X founded the newspaper Muhammad Speaks. And when he founded the newspaper Muhammad Speaks, he realized that you have to have a means of communication. Many people complained when the newspaper first came out, oh, there's so many spelling errors, and why is this and why is that? But the point is they were getting the message across. They didn't have too many skills at first, but it was a very effective means of communication. I would like to say, in terms of communication, just to speak a little bit about the autobiography of Malcolm X. Most of us, I gather, have read that. And I've never met a young black man, particularly, other people as well, but I've never met a young black man who read Malcolm X's autobiography and did not have a profound effect on their life. It had that effect on me and so many other brothers and sisters and other peoples of other culture. And I'm speaking specifically of the black male because we note that there's a tremendous illiteracy rate in New York City, throughout the country. Our children have nothing, they're not reading in school. Part of the problem is they don't have things to read that are relevant to them. The great educator Paulo Freire made that point very eloquently in The Pedagogy of the Oppressed. But young black teenagers and young men gravitate towards this book, Malcolm X Speaks, and it tends to transform their consciousness. Now, as a teacher at Baruch College Black Studies Department, I always look for books that I can give my students and I know that they will read. This summer I came across a book called Future X. Anybody see this book? It's a very interesting book, and for the young black male, it rivals almost the attention that's riveted on Malcolm X's autobiography, so I'd urge you to pick it up. It's published by Holloway House. I would also like to say, in preparation to our discussion, that Malcolm X, as you know, passed away right here in New York City at the Audubon Ballroom, and I think it was February 21st, 1965. And the Audubon Ballroom is a building that's in disrepair, and it is now about to face the Rutgers Ball, and people are fighting to stop that consequence. And as they're trying to tear down the building where Malcolm X died, which really should be a shrine, we are here building up his spirit here in this fine edifice, and we can almost feel his spirit here dwelling with us. I got that impression today when I was here, and I feel it right now. I'd also like to tell you that one of the points that were made earlier, African liberation is our liberation. The two things are intimately connected. As you know, Malcolm X died in 1965, If Malcolm X were alive today, he would be 8 years younger than Nelson Mandela. If Martin Luther King were alive today, he would be 11 years younger than Nelson Mandela. We are engaged in a political struggle here, just as they're engaged in a political struggle in Africa. And this political struggle is so fierce that our champions are dead and Mandela is still alive. So you can't really say that things are any better here or any worse here in South Africa. And before we focus specifically on our speaker, Mr. Johnson, I would like to say that this topic of unfiltered communication is very important. We have to write our own books, write our own newspapers, communicate with our people directly. If other people want to read them, fine. But when we communicate directly to our people, we don't have to apologize and say, well, excuse me while I talk to my people. Because I know when I was a kid coming up in school, I read many textbooks that weren't talking to me, and they made no apologies about it. I read many times, and I still read now, America is a land of immigrants. But my parents didn't come here willingly. But, you know, these books just talk like that. So we have to speak to our people. We have nothing to hide. Other people can listen, can join the dialogue, but we're going to talk to our people. This, an example of this unfiltered communication is this book called The Black Man's Guide to the Black Woman by Scheherazade Ali. Now, I don't want to get into the substance of that book because this is not the place for it, but I just want to note one thing. That book is selling at a tremendous rate. That lady apparently published that book herself, and it's selling at a tremendous rate. And many people are responding to her book with their own publication. They're selling at a tremendous rate. And why is that? It's an unfiltered communication directly to the black masses, and it's creating a whole new realm of publishing for us. Whether you agree with her or not, she's saying something, she's making a comment without being filtered. And people are responding similarly, writing their own books. Here in New York City, we don't have Muhammad Speaks as we had it before, but we do have black newspapers. We have the Amsterdam News, the City Sun, and other black newspapers. What I find interesting is that two of these newspapers, the Amsterdam News and the City Sun, they're not Muhammad Speaks, but they are at least becoming more and more the authentic voice, perhaps, of the African-American community here in New York. We noticed that here in New York, we also had the beginning of Essence Magazine. Emerge Magazine has begun here in New York, and Ebony, which began elsewhere in Chicago, also sells briskly here in New York. All these things are examples of unfiltered communication. You might not agree with what they say, but then you can start your own magazine and your own direct communication to the African American community. Also, Black Enterprise, which had its start here. We noticed that right now as we speak in talking about newspapers, the New York Daily News is about to shut down. The New York Post is also in hard times. But no one in talking about the hard times these publications are having, no one in the mainstream media mentions, number one, there's an organized boycott of the New York Post. Nobody mentions the fact that the black and Latino community and the progressive community, white community, is disturbed with the daily newspapers. No, but you notice, what I notice is interesting, is that even though the Daily News is about to fold because it cannot find its audience, it still will not become an Afrocentric newspaper. Or it still will not become a newspaper that will speak fairly of black people. If they did that, they might survive. But they can't do that. They'll rather fold first. So what I'm trying to get at, and I'll just say it very briefly, there's an opportunity for daily black newspaper. The Daily Challenge is out there, but there's an opportunity for other daily black newspapers. My students, we had a spirited discussion about this book, Future X, and they complained, well, we didn't like the ending. It was a very good book. We didn't like the ending. It was a very good book, but we didn't like so many typographical errors. Once again, if you didn't like the ending, write your own book. If it was too many typographical errors, the reason there's so many typographical errors is that this company is running a shoestring. So if they can run a shoestring, you can go out there and compete with them. There's room for more means of black communication. So perhaps we'll come back to those concerns, and we'll listen to your concerns.